Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory forever.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, deletions, or additions? If none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
If no discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Agenda approved. Approval of the minutes. If there are no objections, I will consider the minutes approved. Minutes are approved. Reading of correspondence. Mr. Griffin?
I don't have any correspondence.
Does any of the council members have correspondence they'd like to share? I will turn to our county administrator, Dave Baker.
Thank you. The first item we have is regarding the Laurel Paramedic Station proposal. And with us today, we have Mr. Glenn Lucky, Bob Stewart, and Bobby Schoonover from the Paramedic Department, if you guys like to come up. Currently, we lease space from the Laurel Fire Department for the Laurel Paramedic Station, which is located in the fire department. And the fire department has indicated they would like to have the space back to fill their own needs for their ambulance attendants. They are willing to give us some more time to find another location and another building. And they are, as my understanding is, they are willing to extend our lease for one more term, but they would like us to work on relocation. So a few months ago, the county purchased property, about 9/10 of an acre, on Sycamore Road for a new paramedic station near Laurel. And the property is behind O'Neill's near Route 13 on the east side of the highway. Since then, the paramedic department and Mr. Gene Kelly from the engineering department have been pricing the cost to build a new paramedic station on this 9/10 of an acre lot. And with the, we have a cost estimate, which I'll hand out. There we go. And we also have a drawing of a proposed station. The cost estimate for the station is about $250,000 for an approximately 1,100 square foot paramedic quarters plus a two-bay garage of approximately 1,400 square foot. If you concur, then we will proceed to work as soon as possible on specs for the new station. The state paramedic office has indicated that the project is eligible for funding this year and that funds represented 40% of the cost, which is the state's share of paramedic services cost. And that they've indicated, the state paramedic office has indicated that the funding is available. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Lucky. And
I'll turn it over to the design team that's been working on this. Obviously, we'll entertain any questions that you have about the document in front of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a presentation, or are you waiting for questions?
I guess we're kind of waiting for questions. I mean, everything that we've done is in front of you. And
we began work on this station probably well over about a year ago when we were first notified. I think it was in the fall of 2007 when we were notified that they wanted us to start looking at moving out. And we looked at two different type of buildings. We looked at a commercial type building, and we looked at two versions of a commercial building. We looked at a pole building and a metal building. And Bobby Schoonover led that effort in looking up the research. The pole building and the metal building are a little bit more expensive than a residential-type building, and we use the Verica home as a model for what you see today. We obviously need to write an RFP, which would include the specifications for that type of building. And the rest of the cost of the project is what you have in front of you. It's around $250,000. Now, we've already bought the land. We've already built the state for the land and some other miscellaneous expenses. We have the money from the capital budget and the money from our budget to cover this expenditure this fiscal year. And we would make every effort to try to get this project completed and purchase ordered, and hopefully most of it done by June 30th, so that we can build the state. And we just need the endorsement of the county council to move forward with the project.
On this handout regarding the cost, there's a mention of $72,000 to the side for drainage, tile wells, hedge removal, topo survey, soil, and rent. Is that part of the $249,000, or is that on top of?
That's just a note for me that to try to keep track of how much the site work is costing us. And with this residential type building and using the vendor that we were looking at using, the site cost is a little bit less expensive than getting it done by another type of company that specializes in commercial type construction. So we just wanted to kind of keep track of how much the site work would cost.
That includes the selling the septic, and the well.
One more question, and I'll turn it over to the council members for their questions. This, or more of an observation, this $249,000 seems substantially lower than some of the figures originally brought to us.
It is. That's a matter of a product of having researched the residential home idea. We weren't sure if an organization like Barrick or one of the others that does that would do commercial work, but it has to be built to commercial standards. It turns out that they do. Having found that out, then looking at their, they've given us an estimate. And these are obviously estimates, but we just found that that was a much less expensive way to go.
We were bracing ourselves for a $500,000 or $600,000 bill, so I want to commend Mr. Cole, who I believe was the one who had that idea.
Yeah, that idea actually did come from me.
Tell those guys up there at Rock Homes it.
Okay.
Ms. Deaver, have you any thoughts?
Yes, I do. I just got this just this minute. And in the future, I would like to ask the county administrator if we could be getting these a week ahead of our meetings. I'm getting things too late or not in time to even consider them. This is another example. My post office doesn't care to deliver the mail to me as quickly as the other post office do for the other council people. And if we're expected to be knowledgeable when we get to these meetings, we need to have this material in advance. So I just saw it. I have no comment. I would like to have some time to look at this.
If I may, we'll take the blame for that. Mr. Baker asked us for this. We worked on it over the weekend, and we came in on the holiday yesterday to finish this up for Mr.
Baker and
Ms. Webb. And we'll try to do better in the future.
Well, it's all of our packet information comes to us. It's mailed out on Friday, and it includes a lot of applications for rezoning and whatnot. Have nothing to do with what you're talking about. But if we're to really be knowledgeable about what we're doing, we have to have this information far ahead of the weekend before the meeting of the next week. So it's just not right.
I will be very liberal in delaying items such as this that are full of a lot of information. If a council person requests it, this does not have to be acted on today. Mr. Vincent, do you have anything?
No, sir.
Mr. Wilson?
None.
Mr. Cole?
Mm-mm.
Ms. Deaver, would you like to put this off a week and we can...
Please, yeah. And I do appreciate the work you've done and, you serving all the new people that have been brought in, all the development we've approved. And I understand from looking at the budget here that the paramedic program is coming up to, $12, $13 million in expenses for the year. Is that right, Ms. Mm-hmm. Finance Director? So it's a very serious issue. You have a lot on your shoulders, and I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, certainly, if this is approved, the thought that your diligence and Mr. Cole's suggestion could save this county $250,000 is certainly appreciated. Thank you very much.
One other thing, we are in contact with and have been, with Laurel Fire Department, and in fact, I think at your meeting on the 23rd, we're bringing in the lease for renewal. They've been very accommodating, and there is no bad blood between us. There was some word about there. It's strictly a matter of they've hired paid staff. They now need the space that we occupy for their paid staff, and they would like us out as soon as we can do it. But they understand too.
And I'd also like to thank Mr. Vincent for being somewhat of an intermediary. He's very familiar with the fire service and the personalities over there, and there's been an air of cooperation, I understand. Mr. Cole, have you any
questions? No, the one thing is I know that when you buy homes and products from places like we were providing, right, you can get different qualities of material. Are we looking at, like, the architectural grade shingles, and I mean stuff that's going to be more durable, or are we just taking a base unit that they have? Have you gotten that far? Because you can get some stuff that will last longer than other stuff.
Yes, yeah.
We're going to get the good stuff.
Okay. Because I like the idea that it has this residential look, and this will complement when people turn in there. You're really going to have to stare at it to realize what it is, and which is nice because it is still a residential area. I think primarily in that area. So.
Our next phase will be to actually write the technical spec.
Okay.
Because we'll have to bid it out, because Berica has a lot of franchise dealers, mm-hmm. and we'll have to bid it out to those different dealers. Or a regular contractor building the stick house could bid against it also.
Be a lot of competition.
We'll have to bid it out and get the competition, but we have to do our homework and mm-hmm. write the spec so we get the good building material.
That would be my only concern, 20-year shingles versus, 30 or 40-year shingles and little things like that.
Okay. Our administrator will place it on next week's agenda, and hopefully at that time we'll have a green light for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Baker?
Thank you. The next item was not in your packet also, so I'm not sure if you'll want to consider this or not, but... And I will do my best to try to have items at least in your packet as much as I can. But we have been asked to consider submitting a request for a few projects for supplemental federal funding, which is it's not a given that we would receive this funding at all. And it's through the federal appropriation process. I received an email from Senator Carper's office about the program, which is sort of an earmark type program. This is separate from the economic stimulus program. In the past, we have received sporadically some funds, such as for the South Ocean View sewer project, and they're typically amounts in the $150,000 to $250,000 range. When in talking with Mr. Winstead from Senator Carper's office, he recommended that we submit three or four projects for consideration. Again, it's sort of a hit or miss type of process in terms of our success rate. What we were suggesting is three projects: the Angola Sewer District project, the Johnson's Corner Sewer District project, and Industrial Park Water Treatment System. Both of the sewer projects have projected sewer rates of roughly $1,200 a year. And any grant funds that we would receive, even if it was $200,000 or $250,000, would be used to reduce those rates.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the primary reason for those two. The Industrial Park Water Treatment System is a smaller project. We estimate maximum cost of about $150,000, which would, of course, provide better treated water at the industrial park and assist with economic development there. So those were the three that we were considering at this time to put together in an application form for our congressional offices.
Great. Good work.
Does council members have any questions for Mr. Baker on this? Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Okay, thank you. And then the next item is the administrator's report, and we have several items. First is notification of the Sussex County Library Advisory Board meeting on February 18th at the Sussex County Administrative Building West Complex from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and attached is a copy of the agenda. Second, we received last week a copy of a letter received from Mr. David Small, acting State of Delaware Department of Natural Resources, Environmental, Control Director, or Secretary. As noted in Mr. Small's letter, the Governor Minner's budget does recommend extending the time to transfer the administrative responsibility for dog control to the counties until December 31, 2009. As you may recall, the legislation at the end of the session, in the last General Assembly session, indicated that the counties may end up taking the administrative responsibilities over for dog control June 30, 2009. We sent a letter in response saying that this is impractical, and we just received this letter of response from Mr. Small. We will be meeting with Mr. Small and representatives from Newcastle and Kent County in the near future to discuss this matter in the transition.
Do any council members have thoughts about this issue? All right, Mr. Baker, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions for the administrator otherwise? Moving on, we'll call Mr. Bill Lacates or his and his staff forward.
Good morning and thank you, President, Council, and Council members. We're here today to continue with the Neighborhood Stabilization Grant that was approved by the President in 2008 in September. It's through the Delaware State Housing Authority, and it went out in October for RFPs, and we submitted an RFP, and Randy and Brad did the application, and we were notified we received $2 million. There was a resolution to allow Mr. Baker in December for us to move forward and submit application. Today, we're going to go over some more information, but because this has been we've been working on as a team, Ms. Bennett, Brad, and Mr. Baker, Susie was for a while, and several other county employees, and also some nonprofit groups that are partners. I would like Ms. Bennett, she's going to brief you up to date on the NSP program, and then Brad's going to go over kind of the proposals and information we'd like today, and then I have a letter to follow up if council is approval or interested. Okay.
Good morning. First, we're just going to update you and give you a background of what the Neighborhood Stabilization Program is. Councilman Phillips and Councilman Cole were here when we initially applied, so just to sort of update the new council members. The goal of this program is the idea of the title, Neighborhood Stabilization, and the plan is basically to provide affordable housing to low and moderate income home buyers. And to help reduce the number of foreclosed post-sheriff sale properties on the market. And we want to encourage these low to moderate income homeowners to purchase these homes through rehabilitation and financial assistance. We are partnering with Sussex County Habitat for Humanity, Melford Housing Development Corporation, Diamond State Community Land Trust, the Sussex County Association of Realtors, and then NCAL Research and First State Community Action Agency, which are the homeownership counselors, which are HUD-approved agencies. We have, unfortunately, as you know, foreclosures have stricken all of Sussex County, but we were confined to only 5 zip codes, which are Laurel, Seaford, Greenwood, Melford, and Georgetown. And what we can do with our $2 million is either purchase and rehab these foreclosed homes on the market or provide financial assistance to the new home buyers. And that's essentially what we'll be working with our partners to do. And 25% of our funding, which is $500,000, has to be used for homeowners that make below 50% of the area median income. And as I think we've mentioned before, we do receive $100,000 of administration funding for our department to administer the program. And basically, the financial mechanism, aside from the purchase and rehab, we can use to provide either soft second mortgages or liens or assist with settlement and down payment costs to homeowners of the qualifying income. And that's basically, all homeowners have to be under 120% of the area median income. They're also required to participate in at least 8 hours of homeownership counseling. And we expect to receive our $2 million by mid-April. That's what the state has been telling us. And we have to obligate that $2 million within the first 18 months. So it will move fairly quickly. And we are expected to complete or assist 27 households with this funding. And seven of those we expect will be 50% and below. And just a brief update, we've been meeting with the state and the Realtors Association to come up with sort of a marketing plan. With the state, they have administration money, which they will be using to make a statewide marketing campaign for this, commercials, radio, web ads, and they're providing a specific 1-800 number.
Can yes. I ask you a question?
Ms.
You
Diva.
Said, okay. I'm sorry, 27 households, right? And then you said 7 or 70 or some percent of will be 50% or below. I don't follow the 50.
Sorry. Okay. With our $2 million in the first 18, yeah, it's the second page, or the back, I'm sorry.
Just got this, too. I just got this, just now.
This is more just our outline that you can follow our, my sort of talking. But the 27 homes is what we think we can assist 27 homes with the $2 million. And with the marketing, like I was saying, commercials, radio, ads, that kind of thing will be provided by the state. And the realtors are very excited to work with us, and they plan on doing some realtor education seminars as well as providing a homeowner sort of seminar that we can present these homes to potential homebuyers. Brad's going to go over a potential leveraging proposal that we've received for this money.
What are the realtors doing?
As far as this program,
what are they going to do?
They will assist us with marketing and helping to target the foreclosed homes that are already on the market, help us also talk to actually the banks, the lenders, as well as recognize potential home buyers.
Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brad Whaley, and I just wanted to give you a little update on one of the things that's been proposed when we go to the meetings is that we use a new market tax credit plan to increase or leverage the amount of funding that we had. It's new to us. We're trying to research it quite a bit. What generally happens is we would put our NSP funding into an account. And that account would be used as a collateral for a loan that would give us another, say on $1 million example, we would put $1 million into escrow, and that would be used to borrow $1 million, which would allow us to receive new market tax credits, approximately an amount of $500,000 that we can use in conjunction with our other funding, which, we can use it for the basic program activities. Right now, they're putting together a market model, so we can kind of review that. It's very complicated. We've been meeting with Mr. Baker and Susie, and we're reviewing it. So we just wanted to let you know that that's one of the options that's on the table. And they ask us every time we meet if we would sign a letter of a non-binding letter of intent. So we would just pledge a certain amount of money. In this case, we were thinking about $1 million until we've got a little more detail on it. They keep requesting that we sign this letter of intent. So we just wanted to make you aware of that. And
again, this is an item that Mr. Baker will be asked to put on for next week because we do want to review all the information.
Sure.
Are there any other questions for Brad or Brandy?
I think you did a great job. You're doing a great job. And I don't think you're paid enough. So, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you.
Mr. Legates, have you anything else?
Well, it's the program has been running very fast, as Brad and Brandy have said. We are a partner, and we've it's taken a lot of time to meet. Every 2 weeks, we have a conference call with the Housing Authority and the other entities that are receiving the funding throughout the state. We're just trying to get through and as fast as we can to be ready when they come with a contract in April so that we can move forward. And at this point, this is something, as Brandy said, every 2 weeks, the Housing Authority wants to know if we've got our non-bonding letter. We've been moving very slow, and I don't want you to think that it's something that we're just throwing out there. In fact, we have been debating with Mr. Baker, our bond and attorney, Jim said, Mr. Griffith sat on one of our meetings. So we're moving very slow, but we would like to see the letter only. It's non-bonding. It would only address to see the formo, which we would like to really see exactly and share with council what we would get out of it, the risk, and at that point. So we'll be glad to come back next week.
I believe I heard our director suggest that he would like us to take action on allowing this non-binding letter to go out this week. Does the council have any thoughts about at least giving that amount of authority to our housing director?
I don't see any risk in this.
Yeah, Mr. Griffin has approved the non-binding letter already. So that's why we're here, is if you're ready or we can wait till next week. That's.
I think we're comfortable. Ms. Deaver, could you make a motion to that effect?
Yeah, I would. I move that we accept the non-bonding letter of intent.
I have a motion and a second to authorize our housing director to issue the non-binding letter of intent. Is there any questions? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did I understand that 5% of the $2 million will come to us for administration fees?
Yes,
$100,000.
Mm-hmm. And there is the new stimulus, more funding coming. So it will we'll be able to use it for some other leveraging and Brandy and some salaries to match.
Thanks.
What about people who are losing their homes through foreclosure?
Unfortunately, this
doesn't
specific
help that.
Portion.
I understand
yeah,
that.
I know. We're waiting to see what the new stimulus package brings down. We hope that either the additional NSP funding that's coming down will allow us to use it for prevention. But we're not exactly sure how that's playing out. And believe me,
have we requested that?
This program, which was actually pre-stimulus package,
oh, I understand. It doesn't help.
Simply, it's required for foreclosed homes. So.
Brandy has been working with the state banking deputy commissioner, I guess, and going to seminars since last January, foreclosure, and she was appointed by Mr. Baker to attend, and they set up meetings, workshops for individuals that think they're in trouble, and Brandy works with them.
I would love to see some come down for Sussex County specifically for us to be able to use some funding ourselves. Right now we rely a lot on Discover Bank and the bank commissioner's office to hold these seminars. So we'll see how that all plays down in the new
plan. Yeah, we get those reports, and it's very upsetting to see that these are primary homes. These are not second homes, and these people really need help. And I see some discretionary money being spent on small groups here, small clubs and whatnot, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't divert some of that discretionary money to helping people who are losing their homes in some fashion. But I hope that we could pursue this, what you're doing now, because it's very serious, a very serious matter.
I think just when we were just going out, Sheriff Deputy Lieutenant told me that they're coming out for 6-month moratorium on foreclosures, should be announced anytime soon. That should give some relief. We'll be glad, I'm sure, Brandy, to get some notification of Mr. Baker to follow up on it. But Jimmy Walls told me that they would be getting a notice about that.
Good. Wonderful.
Thank you
very much.
Mr. Ashman, Director of Utility Plant.
Big job. Minutes?
We did approve the minutes.
We did?
Yeah.
Joan, were you awake? I must have been asleep because there was something missing.
Oh, yes.
Well, actually, we are.
You don't need to vote.
We can revisit that.
All right.
If you'd like. Continue.
Good morning. I'm here before you today to request permission for the Sussex County Engineering Department to prepare and post notices for an expansion of the South Bethany Sanitary Sewer District. It'll include one parcel.
We did
134-1733. On your maps, it's crosshatched on a large map. It's in yellow. It's located next to our South Coastal Treatment Plant and Ocean Farm, which are part of the sewer district currently. It's along County Road 363 or Double Bridges Road, and it's contiguous to our existing district, and it consists of 7 single-family homes and 34.25 acres dedicated to open space. The concept sewer plan was approved in December of 07, and it requires the project to make a connection to an existing manhole in Ocean Farm subdivision right off of Neptune Drive. Received a letter from Andrew Hayes representing Double Bridges OVE requesting the parcel be considered for annexation. The total project is 46.4 acres. And the parcels will be responsible for $4,228 per EDU for system connection charges. There's a public hearing scheduled tentatively for March 31st, 2009. I have it listed at 11 a.m. I think that still hits your existing schedule. Any questions?
Practically speaking, what does this request allow you to do?
It allows us to post notices that we're planning on bringing this parcel into the sewer district. Currently, it's outside. It's in a planning area, but outside of the sewer district.
And this is a typical process whenever you get the amount of requests that you receive?
Correct. If it's a project that's more than 2 or 3 homes or a simple subdivision, then it has to go through its concept plan and be approved before we can bring it into the sewer district, to give us some control as to how they are going to make their connection.
Does the council have any questions for Mr. Ashman?
Yeah, these are 7 single-family homes?
Correct.
7 different owners?
Yes.
Okay, and we only charged $150 to $500, or each of them, they all didn't pay a $500 application fee today, or did they?
No, it's still one project now. The parcels have not been sold.
Oh, there's not single-family homes on any of these lots?
Nothing on there now. It's just one big vacant area.
And so explain then, the 40-some acres is 7 single-family home lots with the balance of the land in what?
34.25 acres we've asked them to dedicate to open space. It's primarily wetlands back here,
right,
adjacent to our treatment plant.
Now, the lots are, how do the lots configure on that parcel?
They're sort of a little strange. They're mostly lined up across the front, right, but some sit back in and have access ways beside the other ones back.
Easements and stuff? Okay. Is there any reason why, maybe just to include those lots in the expansion of the sewer district and not the wetland, the balance of it? Because
I think since it hasn't been, I don't know that it's been recorded yet, whether we can actually do the individual lots. It's still deeded as one parcel. I don't know that I can bring in part of a parcel.
Because in the past, we've tried, years ago, we used to try to annex into the sewer district when we saw a proposed, a layout for a proposed development or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't recorded the 7 lots, you say, or what?
I don't know that they're that far in the process yet.
Okay, because normally we like to approve it for what we know we're going to get, because they may change their mind, and it may not be seven lots.
Correct.
Right, so
but we might... There's really, I don't think there's anything else they can do with this parcel. It's so much wetlands that I don't think they can get more than seven lots out of it. I'm surprised they could get the seven lots out of it.
Well, how big are the lots?
Penny, have any idea?
Does anybody have a picture drawing or anything?
Size of the lots. Yeah, I don't know that I have a picture.
Would you like to see the concept plan?
If you want to just defer on it a little bit, we'll come back to it. Yeah, you're going to take her a couple
minutes. We can do that if you'd like.
Yeah, if you would, because I'm just curious, because they probably have seven lots proposed, because to get on-site systems, they had to have big, large lots.
No, with coming to us, they don't have the on-site systems, so they can actually do the smaller lots because they're coming to the county for central sewer.
Right, I know that, but I'm just wondering if they, once they get the sewer, if it gets scrapped and we have a small subdivision in there, which we weren't. In other words, there was a connection years ago when we would approve sewer with a certain proposed subdivision, and they used to go through the process together. So when we approved the development, we shortly thereafter, at the same time, approved the sewer service to that subdivision.
And that's basically what you have, is you have a subdivision in front of us that they're proposing. I don't think that you've seen it yet, have you? I'm not sure that you've seen it yet.
Well, yeah, let me just see how, because they can walk out, like I said, and just scrap it all and do something different.
Yeah, it's...
Because I thought they were, when you said seven single-family homes, it sounded like the homes were there, but it's single-family home
single
lots.
Single-family lots, basically.
Do any of the council members have questions for Mr. Ashman at this time?
How is that land zoned?
Currently AR, I believe.
AR1.
AR1, but it's low-lying land. It won't perk. Is that the reason for them wanting the sewer expansion?
Yeah.
Okay. And are there any particular agreements that go along with this expansion for potentially for each homeowner?
As far as...
The agreements would apply to the developer, is that correct? Or the builder?
The only person we're dealing with right now is a developer.
The developer.
He has proposed to do, yes.
Okay.
Like I say, nothing's recorded, so he can't be selling his lots yet or anything.
So we don't know exactly, but we don't really know exactly what they're going to do there until it's all approved.
We have their concept. We have what we've approved mm-hmm. them to do at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
If something else comes back in, then it definitely would be in reconsideration as to what we would approve.
Mm-hmm. I like having some land set aside around the plant. I've been to that plant, and you need land set aside by that plant.
Do we have a buffer that's imposed on properties, neighboring properties, so we avoid any conflicts with odors, et cetera, et cetera? I thought we had something. Didn't we have something?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some sort of buffer in place with that. I imagine we have that on our land here.
Well, like we did that. On some of them we didn't. I forget. It seemed like it was a mixed bag there, because we have that townhouse project, what it's called.
Yeah, I understand there were some repercussions there. The people were told that was a water plant when they bought homes there. They were told by the realtors. I don't know if that's true, but I think we should.
Unscrupulous realtors?
Unscrupulous. That's what they hear tell. That's what I hear
realtors
tell.
Realtors would do something like that?
I can't verify that, but that they're not happy because they're right up against the wastewater treatment plant, and it's not a drinking water plant.
You know, Mr. Phillips and I are realtors.
Mr. Phillips and you. This is a very serious issue.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Mr. Baker, did you have anything else to offer?
I think Mr. Lank indicates that it could be, as far as the buffer ordinance provides for a 20-foot buffer, and that
That's
may
all?
Be. But I do know that a big portion of this parcel is wetlands. This was a property that was discussed previously.
Yeah, we actually looked at purchasing the back half of this parcel mm-hmm. as well.
That's what it was.
Mr. Ashman, I think we'll let you maybe stand
Thank
by.
You.
No problem.
And when we get those maps back, we'll take another look. Mr. Lank, old business.
Where we do grant requests.
Morning.
Back already.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Lawrence. Can I ask you to maybe just stand by? We're going to put She's them back already. Up here. She just rolled in.
No problem.
Then they can go back to work. Mr. Ashman, you're still
Yeah, let's
on.
See what that map looks like. That's all I want to say. I'm just curious.
Man, I'm glad you got me in front of one. So
we can get back to work.
We got important things to do.
These are part of Ocean Farm.
Right. Well, show that to Lauren. And Lauren, show us if the sewer gets approved for that, what are the other things that could happen there, just so we all know? Because those are some pretty large lots, but they won't need that much land. If that's only when they had on-site systems.
It looks like they've all got legal frontage through just standard strip lots.
Okay.
Except, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Is there any land in the back that they could open up to go in with an interior and make a mini little subdivision?
Well,
they've got small
to provide lots. Access to the rear. They might lose one of their seven, but you can't just cut it off.
How much?
Access to it.
What is the total amount of land that they could develop once they got sewer service?
All the lots are an acre plus.
But I'm saying, what is the good land? Does it have a menu there?
No, they're not showing the wetland line.
There's no wetland line on it?
Partially. Small piece of wetland that looks like a small piece at the front. Lot right in the center, 6 and 7, just have a very low to the moon wetlands. This doesn't look like it's wet according to the draw.
But I thought they wouldn't perk, those lots.
Well, it doesn't mean they're wetlands. It just means they're not soil.
Bad soils. Once, yeah, the indication was there was a lot of wetlands, because my only concern is that we'll end up seeing a subdivision and it won't look anything like this once the sewer gets there,
right.
Even though that's what he's proposing.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to buffer
it.
Is
it possible to get a wetland delineation so we know?
It's on.
Is it on there?
That must be all federal wetlands, but it doesn't show two different places.
Okay.
Small,
yeah, I'm sure of that.
There's a small pocket on the front of number one. A good portion of number two, a portion of number five.
I don't know.
How about all of that vacant land in the rear?
Vacant land in the rear doesn't say whether it's all wetland or if it's partial. Not that clear.
According to the information they show,
this should be the wetland. This is public's.
On that side.
Yes.
So the back part is all wetlands.
It appears to be, right? Even parts of the lots are open.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's why some of the lots are over an acre. It's because part of it is wet, and they need to show the house to the back or to the side.
Okay, right. I'm just trying to find out if all that vacant area back there is.
You got three lots that are just over an acre. You've got two lots that are acre and a half. You have one that's 2.3 and one that's 3.2.
That's just a concept. We're not required to buffer the wetlands, are we?
And I don't think I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
Wetland. Yeah, they said that there's 46 acres total and 42 and a half acre of wetlands.
Okay, all right.
And that's what we've asked about.
Okay,
dedicated.
Okay, that's what I was trying to do. Thank you.
Mr. Ashman, I don't know that there'll be someone to make the motion, but could you read the motion you have prepared just for our consideration?
Yes, I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the extension of the South Bethany Sanitary Sewer District boundary to include parcel 134-1733, to be known as Double Bridges OV as presented on February 17th. Now, really all this is doing is allowing us to post notices out in the field that we are looking at expanding this parcel. The public hearing is actually the opportunity for neighbors, other businesses, whatever, to come in and decide whether to give you information as to whether to approve it for annexation.
So this will be an opportunity for the public to come in?
Correct.
Okay. Does the council have any major concerns about moving forward with at least this notice, which will allow the public to comment on this potential expansion? If not, I would entertain a motion to that effect.
I
have a motion by Mr. Wilson. Is there a second?
Second motion.
I have a second by Mr. Benson. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you very much.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Lank.
Morning again.
All right.
I have one item of old business this morning. It is conditional use number 1793, the application of Blue Hen Organics LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a compost facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 45.384 acres, more or less, lying east of Road 402A, also referred to as Baker's Road, 2,000 feet south of Route 26. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on December 11th. Council held a public hearing on January 13th. In the commission's, after public hearing, the commission made a recommendation. On December 11th, the commission deferred action. On January 14th, the commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1793 for Blue Hen Organics LLC based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the use of the compost facility will benefit the citizens and the environment of Sussex County. By recycling materials such as yard waste and wood into compost, there will be a reduction of materials going to landfills. There is not currently such a facility in this area of Sussex County. Two, the use will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community, which consists primarily of poultry operations, manure storage facilities, and a propane facility. There are no residences within 1,000 feet of the property line. Three, the compost generated at the site will be available for local agricultural and horticultural uses. Four, the use promotes the conservation element of the county's comprehensive land use plan. Five, the ongoing use will be monitored by DENREC. And six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the applicant shall comply with all requirements established by the solid and hazardous waste management branch of DENREC and any other regulatory agency having jurisdiction over the use. B, as stated by the applicant, the 6/10 of an acre of forest wetlands on the site shall not be disturbed. C, material processing hours shall be limited to 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Waste acceptance hours will be limited to 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Compost sales hours shall be limited to 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The composting area at the site shall be fenced and gated. A landscape plan showing the landscaping within the proposed buffer and the undisturbed forested areas shall be shown on the final site plan. The water truck shall be available for control dust within the site. And lastly, the final site plan, including all buildings, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0 since Mr. Burton was absent at that decision. After the public hearing before council on January 13th, council deferred action and asked the applicant to provide us with a decibel report on the grinder at the site. And on January 19th, we received a letter from Gene Byard on behalf of Wilson, Halbrook, and Byard and on behalf of the applicant, giving us a decibel report for different intervals of feet from the site. That report also included the fact that the council was copied with this letter and that Bruce Rickers, one of the objectors who gave testimony during the council's public hearing, was also provided with a copy. It included a decibel report and also included a reference to windbreaks managing odor improve appearance around poultry houses, and a reference to that the windbreaks control dust and noise. The decibel report, and there was a comparison between the grinder that's used on this facility, or proposed to be used, a tractor, and a power saw. The grinder was less, had less noise than the power saw and more noise than a tractor. And I just looked at the one for 1,000 feet. That was the closest thing to the 1,140 feet that the closest dwelling is from this site. It also included, the letter also included some suggested conditions of approval that were different from the commission's based on the testimony that was provided to council. So if it's the council's choosing, I'd read those conditions. They're somewhat similar. There are some differences.
Is this in our packet, Mr. Light?
Pardon?
These the conditions, are these something we've already received?
You received it in a letter.
Planning and zoning.
From the applicant on January 19th, and it was provided to council.
Okay.
I have copies if you want me to give you copies of them so you have them.
Well, that's good.
Being you received a couple weeks ago, you might have weeks.
Good job. Thank you.
Any copy of the whole letter, just copy the conditions.
Thank you.
That's what we're discussing.
I already received mine. I already read them. I got it.
Thanks.
First one being that these are conditions, not findings. The facility will be used to receive materials to process and to mix and sell compost, mulch, blended soils, and other horticultural, agricultural, and landscape products. Number two, the facility will conform to DENREC compost regulations or must obtain a DENREC permit to operate. Three, there will be a minimum 50-foot forested buffer, including a 4-foot earth berm, sodded and planted with indigenous trees surrounding the perimeter of the facility. No material will be accepted for composting until the berm has been constructed and planted. Four, no wetlands shall be disturbed. Five, the facility will have appropriate signage for acceptance and non-acceptance of compostable materials. The facility will not accept sewage, sludge, septage, biosolids, commingled municipal solid waste, radiological materials, medical waste, nor any toxic or hazardous materials. Six, the hours of operation are subject to the DENREC approval by permit. However, in any event, no grinding or mixing of materials shall occur on Sundays. Only yard waste delivery and sales of mulch are permitted on Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. Seven, the facility area lighting will be minimized to the lowest level suitable for site security between sundown and sunup, and will be directed to the interior of the property. Eight, the facility will have no more than 25,000 square feet of buildings and structures. Nine, a water truck will be kept on site and used to suppress dust. 10, the facility will adopt a fire management plan and coordinate that plan with the Dagsboro Volunteer Fire Company. 11, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county and shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. The final site plan shall include the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. 12, all entrances shall comply with DLDOT's requirements and shall be gated. 13, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Conditions are similar, they are a little different. The commission got more specific about the hours for one, where they are proposing to put the hours in based on DENREC's approval rather than additional conditions of approval imposed by the county. And they also provide in their proposal to permit Sunday hours for delivery of waste and the sale of mulch. But there would be no grinding or mixing of materials would occur on Sundays. They also reference that there commission required they made reference to the landscape plan as the applicant also agreed to, and they prefer to build up a berm with trees rather and landscaping rather than fencing, because the commission recommendation was a composting area to the site shall be fenced and gated. They were basic differences.
What was the last thing you just said? Finished and what?
Fenced and gated.
Okay. If it's gated, how could they actually?
Well, the gates to control access.
Okay, gotcha.
What they propose is use berms rather than fencing, so that they can use berms with plantings. And that would cut down on some of the odor and some of the noise based on their letter.
Would these conditions be recorded with the deed?
They would be recorded with the approval, and the approval runs with the land.
What about if it's, could it be recorded with the deed?
Could be a conditional approval.
Wouldn't it give
us chose, but they own the property, and the only time the deed would be revised would be if they transferred the property to another owner. So you wouldn't really see it as long as they maintain the property.
Right.
It could be years down the road.
That was one of Mr. Cole's concerns, right, if it were sold.
Mm-hmm. So what you have before you is the consideration of this application and two sets of conditions or a combination thereof.
Mr. Cole, have you any thoughts?
Huh? Oh, I was going to wait till you go down the line. No, I don't.
Mr. Benson?
No, I'm fine.
No, I'm fine. Mr. Wilson? Lawrence, I think the challenge we have in front of us is merging the two sets of conditions. It appears that number three is one that is more restrictive as offered by the applicant, which would create the berm. I guess that could be disputed if you consider a fence more restrictive than a berm, but I could see how the berm would offer greater noise protection. Is that the thought process?
That's true. If it's they're proposing a 50-foot forested buffer, and it includes the 4-foot earthen berm, and it's sodded and planted, so there's trees, whereby the commissions would be based on a plan showing a fence and some trees. So which one is more difficult or more costly, I'm not sure.
Does any of the council members have thoughts on their preference between a fence versus the berm? The berm, as offered by the applicant, would also include a 50-foot forested buffer.
The applicant wants the berm?
He's suggesting the berm and a 50-foot forested buffer.
Commissioners want to talk about a fence, huh?
They talked about a fence. I would suggest that maybe the noise concern wasn't as prevalent at that point in time. But when the study came back illustrating the noise level, I would assume that the applicant felt like a concession may need to be made to help alleviate any noise concerns.
Well, I think the berm itself would eliminate more noise than a fence, that's for sure. Everybody knows what a berm looks like. It's 4, 5, 6, 8 feet high, and with trees on it, definitely better than the fence.
Mm-hmm. Any other council members have thoughts on that?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Mr. Lang.
Sure.
When the matter was deferred initially by council, they said that once, if the applicant submitted additional material, then the public would have 2 weeks to submit written comments. Did any member of the public submit written comments?
No. Received none.
And is it correct that the additional revised conditions offered by the applicant were based on information that the commission was not able to see, because that proffer or offer to upgrade to a berm and 50-foot forested buffer didn't exist at the time?
Did not.
Okay. And also on the Sunday hours, that came with the letter about the...
That's correct.
Okay.
And the berm issue was addressed at council. The commission wasn't privy to that information since our public hearing was 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
Mr. Lank, aside from number three, which addresses the berm, you mentioned the hours of operation were different in the conditions. One,
The commission got specific on material processing, waste acceptance, and compost sales. And they were C, D, and E of what I read into the record. The applicant proposes to their hours under number six, excuse me, that their hours are subject to DENREC approval by permit. Because DENREC would be the enforcing agency more than the county on this type of application. And they also provide for Sunday hours from noon to 5 for the purpose of an individual bringing waste delivery or yard waste delivery and sales of mulch.
I think that is significant enough to at least solicit the comment of the council. Does anyone have any thoughts about those two different sets of time regulations?
I have questions. It was presented to the commission in one form. Then it was presented to the council in different form. Did the public have adequate notice to realize that it was a different application?
Well,
the application was basically the same. The presentation was different after the, what happened is the developer heard the commission's concerns during the commission's public hearing with or without a recommendation. Mm-hmm. And then they sometimes come to council with somewhat different answers. So it had the chance to look at what the commission concerns were to be able to address it to council since council had the final vote.
But how would people know what these changes were?
Could I ask Mr. Griffin to maybe give thought on that?
Well, at the time council deferred, they said that if the applicant submitted additional material on the sound levels and anything further, then the public would have 2 weeks following that to submit written comments. That was to prevent having to go back and open up for a further public hearing, and the public didn't submit any written comments.
Nevertheless, it is a different application than the one that came to the commission. And did the council post a legal notice of that decision?
I don't think it's a different application. They're proposing some revisions on two
in
of
the
conditions to address a matter that council wanted to mm-hmm. ask them to address.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Griffin, how would you suggest we move forward to reconcile the two sets of conditions?
Well, Mr. Lank, are the proposed revised conditions 3 and 6 the two that are different than those arrived at by the commission?
3 would relate to the berm and the forested buffer. 6 would relate to the hours.
Okay.
So that's 6 would relate to C through E of what the commission recommended, and 3 would relate to F. The others are similar.
So if we used 6 in place of C and E and 3 in place of F, then it would be what the commission recommended except for those two changes.
Right, that's the only two discussed.
Do you have a recommendation?
As far as the changes?
Yes.
The only thing I wasn't sure about was the hours, and it would be less policing for my staff. DENREC's going to require by permit what their hours can be. The applicant can do less. DENREC's going to put a max.
It was the applicant's rationale for allowing some Sunday hours for delivery and sales, but no grinding and mixing.
No grinding or processing.
To accommodate.
Just acceptance.
It would make it more user-friendly for the public
be. Right. That's what the letter says,
okay.
Pretty much.
That would be my recommendation that council consider using 6 in place of C and E and 3 in place of F if it's inclined to accept those.
The other one that I don't see reference in the planning and zoning's conditions is the limitation of buildings and structures to 25,000 square feet. I may be overlooking that. Do you see that in the?
No, it's really not. It didn't really reference the size of the buildings. They were on the site plan, and they're pretty close to what they applied for. It could be an additional condition. then you're throwing in number 8. That gives a limitation on buildings.
Mr. Griffin, do you think we're at the point, considering those three differences, everything else being equal, that accepting the proposed conditions from the applicant would be acceptable if the council was so inclined?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that including number 8?
That would be including all of the applicant's conditions, if the council is so inclined. And I guess I'm going to have to ask the council at this point to make their inclinations known. If you're comfortable with the proposed conditions as submitted by the applicant, I think a separate motion to that effect would be appropriate before we vote on the entire application. Am I correct, Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
Okay. Does the council have any further discussion on this before I ask a motion to accept the proposed conditions for approval as submitted by the applicant?
Well, I can tell you that I think that if this is approved, you certainly should make it a deed restriction on the property. And I'm not in favor of it at all, so I'm going to say no.
Okay. Before I move further, I feel like I need to have clarity from the council. If there is a willingness to move forward, we first need to address the conditions. Okay, there doesn't seem to be any.
What's the question?
Would you make a motion to approve the conditions, not the application, but just the conditions, since we have two separate sets of conditions that were presented just now by Mr. Lank that came from the applicant? They're the same as planning and zoning's, with the exception of 3, which provides that the berm, number 6, which sets the hours of operation based on the DENREC approval, as well as offering limited sales of mulch on Sunday from noon to 5, and number 8, which is different from planning and zoning's conditions because it limits the square footage of buildings on the property. If you'll make that motion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, if I get a second, we can further discuss it.
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve the conditions as provided by the applicant. Is there any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Cole?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Lawrence, I have one question, I guess. Explain to me, Mrs. Deaver, a point of a deed restriction. Is that something that you normally do, a deed restriction?
That's typically not.
Okay.
I think we should look at it doing it, though.
It's been done. It is done on residential plan communities and subdivisions, but not typically on a rezoning or conditional use.
Well, further educate while we're on that topic, Jim, for us to impose a deed restriction is not acceptable, correct? In that,
well,
we can suggest, but
if you approve this, you would be adopting an ordinance. The applicant would be bound to live by the ordinance. Right. If the use of the facility at some point in the future changed, the applicant, whoever that may be, would be required to come back here and have approval for a change of use. I don't see why you would want to get involved in putting covenants on somebody's land.
The permit restriction, this conditional use permit, puts in conditions where deed restrictions would be pretty much the same, a lot of them. Some of them.
I don't see the need for deed restrictions.
In other words, it serves no purpose.
You've got the ordinance, and the applicant's got to live by the ordinance.
He's bound by the ordinance.
That's the way I see it.
But is there a problem with us imposing deed restrictions in the past? Has there been some concern about that? I can't remember.
Well, in the past, where deed restrictions were involved, they were self-imposed by the landowner to give and they were related to a change of zone because council had some concerns about if everything in CR1, you had some concerns about some of the permissible uses in the commercial district, and in order to give comfort level, the applicant would say, well, I agree to self-restrict my land not to do A through C, for instance.
But how about when the council, for the council to impose deed restrictions in these, should we or shouldn't we?
You haven't in the past. I don't.
Is it something we have the ability to do, you think?
I don't recommend that you do it.
Okay.
I think it's
could create the avenue for a judicial challenge to that. I mean, we're here.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find out.
We're here to consider zoning, not restricting land.
Okay, okay.
And last question, Lawrence. There was some a gentleman that came to us at our hearing that lived out there that had a question about noise, and he was to send a copy, I think, of what they responded back to us. Have you heard back from him?
He was, no. We didn't hear any comments back from Mr. Rickard.
Okay, thank you.
Or Richard, whichever it was. Yeah, that would have been Bruce Rickards.
Okay, thank you.
He actually is here, but we...
He was.
He's here today, too, but I'm just saying he didn't comment, I guess, officially.
I would ask the attorney if there is the opportunity for... has the record been closed for comment on the report?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So there is no further...
The two-week date.
Correct. All right, I have a motion and a second to accept the conditions only, not the application, but the conditions only, as submitted by the applicant, which have been presented to council. If there is no further discussion, I'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
No.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Conditions have been approved. If there is no further discussion, we will consider the application itself. Mr. Griffin, would you like to read the title?
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a compost facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsburg 100, Sussex County, containing 45.384 acres, more or less.
I'll entertain a motion.
So move you.
I have a motion to approve conditional use 1793.
I'll second.
And there is a second with the conditions approved by council. Is there any further discussion? Please state your reasons for your vote. Ms. Deaver.
I vote no. This is an agricultural residential area. It is agricultural. It is residential. And I think this use, although I do appreciate the usefulness of composting, this would be a regional facility. And to me, it's more industrial in nature. That's why you're having all these conditions put on it, to try to make it a square peg fit into a round hole, and it doesn't fit. And I think it would be more appropriately located in an industrial park. If you're living next to something being built, you know that the beep, beep, beep is temporary, and the grinding's temporary, and processing's temporary. This is permanent, and it's inappropriate for this quiet farm community.
Thank you. Mr. Vincent?
I'm going to vote yes based on recommendation of planning and zoning with the appropriate stipulation we placed on it. And I think that it's a good project to not get all this stuff in the landfill, which is starting clearing, filling up pretty quickly on us. And it makes sense to be able to reuse this stuff as compost.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on the same reason that Mike here voted, and also that they have met the requirements.
Mr. Cole?
Well, I am going to have to agree a little bit here with Mrs. Deaver. I think that the application would be more appropriate in the LI district. The road that the project is fronting on is not suitable for this amount of daily traffic. An agricultural district does get truck traffic, but nowhere near the frequency that this application would generate, because, and that's based on the applicant's own info, trucks coming in from Maryland with different products and stuff. In the agricultural district, you typically encounter these trucks. I think I just mentioned that. The high truck traffic will distract from the rural agricultural and related activities that occur. It will also be harmful to the residential component of the AR district. Plowing and harvesting, et cetera, are the usual activities, and they're activities that occur occasionally, where what we're looking at here is a project that would be receiving raw material, processing raw material, manufacturing then the material, then wholesaling and retailing it. So a conditional use, which is typically limited in nature, I believe this project is not limited in nature, and it's become quite a fairly large operation. So the conditional use is a permit, and it's and very similar to, I guess, what Mrs. Deaver said, they're trying to make a round pegs fit in a square hole or whatever. The noise issue, the grinders and the trucks, et cetera, is constant, where the other comparisons like chainsaws and other tractors, et cetera, again, they are used occasionally and for short periods of time, where the grinder and those kind of activities will be more constant and go for a longer period of time. So with that all involved, I believe it would be more appropriate in an LI district and not as a conditional use permit. So my vote's no.
I see the need for this, which is one of our primary drivers for land use applications. I also believe the noise, although a concern, could be compared to other activities in the area. Poultry operations have a lot of truck traffic for the feed trucks, the delivery of the birds, and catching and processing of the birds require a lot of truck traffic, often in the middle of the night. I think the berm is something that has been offered by the applicant, which will cut down on the noise considerably, especially when coupled with a 50-foot forested buffer. For those reasons, I'll vote yes, the application is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Grant request.